Ask. All right, let's look at our message today, our second part of Ask and You Shall Receive from Matthew chapter 7. I'll be reading verses 7 through 12, but we'll be looking at verses 9 through 11 because I preached on 7 and 8 last Sunday. This is the second part of Ask and You Shall Receive. So if you will look with me, I'll go back to verse 7 and read all through verse 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake? Then the question is, will he? If you then, being evil, know all how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? And this is the key verse right here about do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. In everything there, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. So again this morning we're going to be looking at these verses that Jesus has to say about how to pray, and the way it leads us to receiving the answers that we lift up in the name of the Lord. So it is important to know how to ask, how to seek out, and keep on knocking for the doors of opportunity that God always provides. You know, it's you just don't, you know, ask once or twice. I think I'm trying to think of Charles Spurgeon, who was witnessing to a man who resisted his invitation to come to the Lord, and he kept on and on and on. And he witnessed to him 53 times, and a man continued and said no. But on that 54th time, he won him to the Lord. So you see how important it is to ask the Lord and seek and knock. A lady at Northside Baptist Church many, many years ago, and Brenda remembers this lady as well, prayed for her husband. All the years they were married, he didn't come to church. He didn't know the Lord as his personal Savior. She would get up and testify in the services, I'm praying for my husband, and he'll be right here by my side. He'll get saved. And that day came. We had a revival at Northside Baptist Church. Harold Hunter was the pastor then, and he's been here. He became an evangelist and so forth, and he preached a message, and he came down the aisle and got saved. And boy, they were shouting in the sanctuary that morning when he got saved. So you see, you never give up. Keep asking and praying and knocking. Well, let's look, first of all, at the good things for the asking. That's why Jesus tells us to ask. Jesus said in verse 9, what man is there among you who, if he asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Now, picture this, what Jesus is talking about, and the audience, the people that Jesus was talking to then knew about stones, and they knew about bread. And some stones looked like loaves of bread. And regarding to this, there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, the devil suggested that Jesus make loaves out of stones. He did. You know, when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and you can imagine being out there without food, water, and things, you would be tempted, wouldn't you, if somebody offered you something? Well, Satan, he told Jesus to turn the stones into bread and you have food, but Jesus used scriptures against that. So the little round stones on the seashore were exactly the same shape and color of little loaves. And this illustrates what Jesus meant when he said, if a son asks for bread, will his father mock him by offering him a stone, which looks like bread, which is impossible to eat? Now, I don't know, you've probably eaten stuff and you thought that was really soft, and then all of a sudden there was something hard in there and almost break your teeth out. Can you imagine trying to eat a stone? It is impossible. And next Jesus said, if you ask for a fish, will you give him a serpent? A serpent. Now that's in verse 10. And the word serpent could also be translated as water snake. Now we equate that serpent sometimes because of Adam and Eve and the serpent and so forth in the garden. But this was most certainly an eel, according to scriptures and the translation that's given in identifying the serpent and water snake or whatever. But it was certainly an eel. According to the Jewish food laws, an eel could not be eaten because the eel was unclean fish. Why? Well, it didn't have scales. Because if you look at Leviticus chapter 11, there it is, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 12, which says, whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. And we know Leviticus, what it says about eating things that are unclean and so forth, and it is an abomination according to the Old Testament then to not eat such animals or fish. So that regulation ruled out the eel as a type of a good diet. You know, you just don't eat things like that. And Jesus was saying, if a son asks for a fish, will his father indeed give him a fish? But a fish which is forbidden to eat and which is useless to eat. And then Jesus was saying, will a father mock his son's hunger like that? And of course we know he would not and we would not. But this is why Jesus is using that illustration about loaves and stones and asking in the right manner. Also in verse 11, this is where Jesus concluded his explanation about this, which says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? And we know that our Heavenly Father is going to give us the good things. Everything that we need that is good for us, both physically, emotionally, and spiritual. So Jesus was using this contrast here between the sinful people and a perfect God to illustrate his point. Again, Jesus used this contrast right here between sinful people and perfect God to illustrate this point. believe, know how much more our Father is in heaven, whose nature is goodness, it's mercy, it's grace, and he gives good things to those who ask. That's why he says, ask, knock, and seek. Now, so the Father will give good things to those who ask him. Now, we don't always get everything we ask, do we? Prayer is learning to know what to ask for. I've learned that a long, long time ago. When you pray, you ask the Father to help you know how to pray and ask the things that he wants in our lives. And if you don't get them, then you don't need them, right? But he allows us to have things, and if we ask in the right manner, in the right motive, in the right attitude, and so forth, and it is good for us, then God will always provide that in our life. So the good things God will not withhold. So what it was meant by good things? So in the contrast, looking at the scriptures here, is looking at the examples of bread and fish, one meaning is the good things, okay? And it is food, which could compare to daily provisions. So he always provides for those for us. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to pray, give us our daily bread. In his prayer, the model prayer that we know. So when we are asking, when we are seeking, and when we are knocking on God's door or in his heavenly realm, we will most certainly receive those things that we need for our life, health, and the things that will influence our life. These are what Jesus called the good things. Now, let's look at something else that is good. It's a good thing. When Luke recalled the words of Jesus, he said, now I pulled this from Luke because he says similar, the thing is what Matthew is saying, but he said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit in those who ask him? Now, we see that Luke included the Holy Spirit. You know, that is what drives us spiritually, is the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, when I ascend to the Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things that I have taught you while I was here. So I'm glad that Luke included the Holy Spirit here, so that as we pray, the Holy Spirit intervenes and helps us to pray, helps us to know how to pray, and so forth. So that's a good thing to those who ask. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So in Scripture, receiving the Holy Spirit is compared with confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or providing salvation in your life. Receiving the Holy Spirit, again, is compared to confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit is the initiator in leading us and showing us to Christ. So we often wonder what God wants us to have, what his will is, God's ultimate will. And you know, we always say, you know, we like to know God's perfect will. Sometimes we don't know God's perfect will. And that's why we are to keep asking, seeking and knocking, and not give up. as Charles Stanley once said, whatever you pray and you keep on praying, God will not allow you to choose outside of His will. God will always give you the good things that He wants us to have or intends us to have. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but should have come to repentance or have everlasting life. See, that's, again, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. So God's will, you think about this, God's will and the greatest good He can bestow is forgiveness of our sin, and which leads to eternal life. And He promised to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He will not hold that from us. What we ask. When it comes to salvation, the Holy Spirit is active in leading us to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus Christ, never to Himself, but always to the cross. Now, let's look at expected to pay it forward. You know, it's always too good to pay forward, isn't it? Whatever God gives us, and He gives us abundantly, and we know that others need, we want to pay it forward on their behalf, especially when it comes to the spiritual things in the Lord. So to summarize what Jesus said here, God gives only good gifts to those who come to Him in prayer. Now, and I want to throw in that, including the gift of salvation. See, God will not withhold that. You probably can go back when you begin to understand what it meant to repent and ask God forgiveness of your sin. And you can go back and remember when God was knocking on your heart's door. I can remember the very day. And I didn't know exactly what all was going on, but I knew something exciting was taking place, and it's something I had not felt before in my life. And I was in a church service, and it was all good. And I realized it was the Holy Spirit. And you know, we don't see the Holy Spirit, but we can feel His mighty touch on our lives. So God will not withhold His presence or anything from us when we are asking Him. Now, likewise, God's children who are to do good things for others, we are to ask God to intervene in this in our lives as well. So Jesus put the sum of the law and the prophets in the statement we call the golden rule in verse 12. Now, this is verse 12 I'm talking about now. That's why I entitled it Expected to Pay Forward. We want to do good. We want to do good for our own lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit and God leading us, Jesus Christ as well. And we also want to do good for others and help them and lead them in that in direction of the Lord as well. And that's why Jesus called it law and the prophets, because they were prophesying, they were teaching this even in the Old Testament as well. So the golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. We've heard that from since we was a little child, haven't we? I know that I was taught that in at home, to be good, respect others, especially our elders, and listen to them and do as we're told. So that's going with the golden rule here as in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And so You know, when you think about how this was used back centuries ago, it began to be used widely during the 17th century in the Britain and England, theologians and pastors, where they began to use this and emphasize this in the churches and so forth for people to help them understand to respect and pay forward to help others find Christ. Now, since this verse is tied to asking for the good things, and especially the gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation, and receiving those things from our Heavenly Father, we are expected to pay those blessings forward to others. That's our responsibility. And I believe that's what Jesus was wanting his audience, the listeners, to understand. Tell other people who I am. And if we, of course, we know a lot of people, family, friends, and acquaintances that do not know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And it is our responsibilities as ministers and ambassadors for the Lord to be ambassadors for Christ and share. That's why he said, go ye there and preach and teach the gospel in all nations. And he said, I will give you all authority in heaven and on earth to do this. So we have the authority, we have the ability, and as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do that. So the more we pray, the more we ask, the more we seek, the more we knock, that opportunity will be opened unto us. It will. And that's why Jesus emphasizes that here, I do believe. Now, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven us. I'm sorry, there it is. There's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Now, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. And you think about that. All the sins of the world, Christ took that up on his life. Think about that. Now, if he was willing to do that for the whole world, why would we not do it for one person, right? Or two, or three, or four, or on and on and on. That's the great love. That's unconditional love. And Paul, you know, he learned this pretty in the hard way, I think, with all of the things that Paul was doing, the persecution and so forth. And when Christ got his attention, it changed his whole life. And then he understood that the Lord could have just took him out. But no, he spared his life. And he said, Paul, I've got something really in store. I've got blessings in store for you. You're going to be my spokesman. You're going to pay it forward. You have experienced my love and my grace right here on the Damascus Road. And now you're going to pay it forward because I have anointed you. And of course, Ananias, when he found out that the Lord wanted him to go to Paul, and he wasn't all in for that because he knew the life of Paul. But then Jesus said, you know, this man, this Paul, this persecutor of the church, he's going to suffer much for my sake because he's going to pay it forward. And he's going to win churches, bring people to Christ. I mean, he certainly did. In John chapter 4, 10 and 11, it says, And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. Now, that's a hard word, isn't it? Propitiation. I mean, it's hard to say, let alone to know the definition of it. So I put in a pair of brackets there, atoning sacrifice. That's what it is. Jesus paid the price. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So he paid our sin debt. That's that atoning sacrifice. And we sung that. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. There's joy that we have in Christ Jesus for our sins. So, and then it also, John says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So really, you know, it says ought to, but really it should be commanded. And it is commanded that we love one another. So in finishing this morning, if we keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, God will answer our prayers some way, somehow, and he will. He will do that. Just don't give up. So we might ask maybe ask for an open door. You know, I've asked for doors. I've asked for windows. I've asked for cracks. Anyway, Lord, to give me an answer, to give me the assurance of what I'm asking is correctly, and it's within your will. I always want to pray within God's will, and I know you do too. And we might not get exactly what we're asking for, but we will get what God knows what's best for us. And his ultimate best for our lives revolves around the good things I've been talking about here earlier. He has in store for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, we can go to Romans chapter 8, 28, you know, well, the good things, you know, God does not withhold from anyone who is called according to his will. So those good things include our daily provisions. It includes our spiritual blessings, what God has given us, such as his forgiveness. That's a blessing, isn't it? It's a ultimate a blessing. And we should pass that along to others. We should never miss an opportunity to share our faith, to share our testimony, our witness to other people. We should be especially share the good news of how they too can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. And it's one Christian showing another person does not know Christ, where to find Christ, how to find Christ. We might not be successful the first time like Charles Spurgeon, but just keep on, keep on, keeping on, and eventually it will happen. You know, thank goodness the Lord didn't give up on us, right? He did not give up on us. That's why he went to the cross and died for our sins. And he did it with joy. That's hard for us to comprehend and understand, isn't it? He did it with joy, knowing that he was being obedient to the Father and he was providing salvation for the whole world through his death once and for all. And Galatians, I believe it's Galatians 4:4 says that in the right time, Jesus came, God sent his son into the world to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins at the right time. And it's always the right time with Jesus to come to him when he's calling with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the message today, the scriptures that we read, and you have given us discernment to understand the wisdom to be able to apply it in our lives. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit and that you never give up on us. You're always knocking on our heart's door. And that's why you tell us in Romans 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in." Here we know that you're talking about Christians. We always need your fellowship. We always need a fellowship with you and one another. And that's why you keep knocking. You never give up on us. And we thank you that you don't. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come to you and ask forgiveness for any sin. And you cleanse us. And you set us on the right path to do great things in your name. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for any decisions today, Lord, that you place upon in each one of our hearts, that we be willing to step forward and make that decision made known. That means that we mean business, that we want to make things right, and that we want to honor you with our lives. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, "Trust and Obey." There's no other way, right?